Good evening and welcome everyone to this full council meeting. Members are requested to observe a minute's silence as a mark of respect in memory of the late councillor Ruth Pentney, who passed away after losing her battle with motor neuron disease. She will be greatly missed. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I will now request my chaplain to open the meeting with a prayer, which also allows time for personal reflection before we start the business of the meeting. Father Robert.
Let us be quiet and call to mind the nature of democracy in this country. Prayer for Her Majesty the Queen. Almighty God, who rulest over all the kingdoms of the world, and dost order them according to your good pleasure, we give you hearty thanks, for you have set before us thy servant, our sovereign lady, Queen Elizabeth, upon the throne of this realm. Let your wisdom be her guide, and your arm strengthen her. Let truth and justice, holiness and righteousness, peace and charity abound in her days, and direct all her counsels and endeavors to thy glory and the welfare of her subjects. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us be mindful of the people of Torbay. Let us be mindful of the role of this council and the councillors. Almighty God, from whom cometh every good and perfect gift, send down, we beseech thee, upon all who hold office in Torbay, the spirit of justice and integrity, of wisdom and charity, that seeking their own good in the well-being of those committed to their charge, they may ever advance thy kingdom upon earth and promote the true welfare of thy people. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I will say now the Lord's Prayer, and if you wish, you may say this prayer with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look kindly on you and give you peace. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Father Robert. You may remove your jackets, as we've had a request, and please be seated now. Right, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The purpose of this meeting is to deal with a number of major issues for the well-being of Torbay and best interest of the community. My role as chairman is to ensure that today's agenda is dealt with efficiently and to allow fairness throughout the discussions. Also, as the meeting includes all councillors and the mayor, we are governed by strict procedure or standing orders. To make sure that the meeting is run fairly, I expect healthy discussion and respectful speeches by councillors, and I will not allow repetition as we have a lot of business to get through today. I will also not allow discussions, comments, or barracking to be made across the meeting room whilst the invited speaker is addressing the council. Although standing orders allow individuals to be seated during their speeches, I would prefer, if whenever possible, councillors and the mayor to stand when addressing the council so that you can be clearly seen and heard. Please note that the proceedings at the council meeting will be recorded. Therefore, please ensure that you use your microphone when addressing the meeting and that it is switched off when not in use. We are not expecting any fire alarm testing today. In the event of an evacuation, you will hear the recorded message requesting you to evacuate the building. Please leave by the nearest exit. The Riviera Centre staff will assist you. Once outside, please assemble in the Lifestyle members' car park opposite the main entrance. Please also ensure that your mobile phones and iPads are turned to silence. Apologies. Apologies for absence.
Apologies for absence has been received from Councillor Brooks.
Item 3, I propose that the minutes of the meeting held on the 23rd of July 2015 be signed as a correct record. Is there a seconder? Item 4, declaration of interest. Have members any non-pecuniary or disclosable pecuniary interest in any of the matters on today's agenda? Councillor Dwyer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to declare a non-pecuniary interest on item number 15 as a board member of Sanctuary Affordable Housing Limited.
Thank you. Have officers any personal interest in any of the matters on today's agenda? Jolly good, thank you. Would members please ensure that they also declare their interest before the relevant item is discussed and complete the interest form which is in front of them. Item 5, communications and announcements. I do have an announcement I wish to make, and that is I wish to thank Tor 2 for the excellent Bay Blooms event that took place last night, and I'm sure those councillors who attended and stayed to the end to receive the awards on behalf of their communities will agree. It was first a community event, and I would like also to give a special thanks to the compere and master of ceremonies, Councillor David Thomas. Thank you, Councillor Thomas. Has the mayor any announcements that he wishes to make?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Torbay Council is committed to providing support to those affected by the situation in Syria and will work with local people and partners to provide an appropriate response, in particular to orphans and unaccompanied children. This includes working in partnership with other local authorities in the southwest to maximise our support and the opportunities available for individual refugees. In order to provide this support, Torbay Council will respond within the financial envelope provided by central government in the first year. However, it must be noted that the existing commitment to financial support from central government is for 1 year only and will not provide the long-term support necessary to allow refugees to take advantage of the opportunities available in Torbay. We are awaiting confirmation from central government that they will fund this in the longer term so that it does not impact upon services to our local people. I've appointed a senior officer to lead on this response, and an implementation plan and briefings will be arranged as soon as more information becomes available. That's the first statement, Chairman. The second one relates to the adoption service. You will see later on the agenda the adoption activity report. This is for noting, and there will be, if you say so, Mr. Chairman, no debate. I therefore wanted to take the opportunity to recognise the excellent work of the adoption team in Children's Services. Over the past 3 years, they've turned around the service to secure 19 successful adoptions last year and a further 19 already this year, with, I believe, another 10 by the end of this year. This completely bucks the national trend that has seen a significant decline in the numbers and provides a secure outcome for those of our most vulnerable children. My grateful thanks, and I'm sure yours too. Thank you, Chairman.
I understand the Executive Director of Finance and Operations has no announcement that he wishes to make. Very good. Has the Overview and Scrutiny Coordinator any announcements that he wishes to make?
I do indeed, Mr. Chairman. We've had several meetings of the Overview and Scrutiny Board, very, very successful, I think. Some of us attended an excellent training session in Totnes, which showed us how Overview and Scrutiny could be effective in councillors. A number of us went and found it extremely helpful, and there were other members of Overview and Scrutinies from the whole of the Southwest area, and we found it most useful. What we are going to do ahead of the budget, we are looking at visiting some of our commission services so we get a feel of what they actually are providing, not only to the council but for the people of Torbay. And we thought that would be a good thing to do before we get into the budget rounds in November and January, which of course is more detailed, but some of us, and we would welcome to be joined by other backbenchers, cross-party, if anyone else would like to attend those sessions where we go in and have a look and have a chat with those people who operate our commission services. I hope to be able to put an email around to the backbenchers, because it's not only for Overview and Scrutiny Board or members, of course it is for the whole of the backbenchers of the council who we all overview and scrutinise. Thank you very much indeed, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor. Item 6A, petitions for noting. The Council has received one electronic petition for noting requesting housing discrimination against homeless people with pets to be stopped, approximately 70 signatures. The petitioner has requested that the petition is submitted direct to the decision maker, and it will be considered by the Assistant Director of Communication and Customer Service in consultation with the Executive Lead for Community Services, Councillor Robert Excel. Item 7, members' questions. I moved. The questions have been circulated with the agenda. Please refer to page 30. I will go through each question and ask that the relevant member to respond. Once a response has been given, I will then ask for any supplementary questions. Your supplementary question must arise directly out of the original question or the reply. May I remind members that supplementary questions shall not include a statement. I will be interrupting you if I consider your statement, your supplementary question, to be a statement. Question one, Councillor Darling, S to the Executive Lead for Adults and Children's, Councillor Parrott. Councillor Parrott, would you go to the lectern? Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Darling. As you'll be aware, I have recently taken over the portfolio for children, and the DCS has recently returned from his previous role. We're working with the Audit Committee to identify Children's Services performance against the five-year plan, and we'll be reporting progress to overview and scrutiny on the 14th of October. As I think you may be aware, any change or extension to the five-year plan would need to come before this Council before any adjustment.
Councillor Darling, do you have a supplementary question?
Thank you. I'm confident that this has been alluded to in the last audit committee meeting but one. And can you please give some assurance to members as to what actions are being taken to try and ensure that it doesn't segue into a 7 rather than a 5-year plan? Thank you.
Perhaps I could at least add to my statement, or my initial answer, the fact that the overview and scrutiny monitoring group is in fact meeting next week as well. So we have what I believe to be a robust review underway. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Question 2, Councillor Stringer, to the Mayor and Executive Lead for Finance and Regeneration, Mayor Oliver. Could you please use the lectern?
Chairman, thank you. I've already made a statement on this issue, and I don't think it's appropriate for me to add any further to that statement. I think it clears the point.
Councillor Stringer, do you have a supplementary question?
Yes, I do. Could I remain seated, please?
Indeed.
Thank you. I note the question is to the Mayor. I note that in Hungary, that your entry in the Register of Members' Interests, you state that you are the Honorary Consul for the Republic of Hungary. In recent days, the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees has been highly critical of the treatment of refugees by Hungary. They have been particularly concerned about the violent treatment of some refugees and inadequate processing of asylum applications. Have you communicated to Hungary the revulsion felt by many people in Torbay and in England by the treatment meted out to the people in need in Hungary?
Thank you. Before we continue, the position of Honorary Consul is in the Mayor's or Mr. Gordon Oliver's personal capacity. If he wishes to address that, he may do so.
Thank you, Chairman. In terms of the question that's been asked, my role is here in the United Kingdom to support Hungarian citizens that are here. I have no influence, nor do I comment on the activities of the Hungarian government, because that is up to them. They've been elected as part of the democratic process that we all respect in Europe, and therefore I wouldn't obviously get involved in that whatsoever. My role here is to help and support Hungarian nationals in this country.
Question 3, by Councillor Darling, to the Executive Lead for Community Services, Councillor Excel.
Thank you, Chairman. The answer is that the technical difficulties relating to electronic apparatus being installed at the school location only. The variable 20-mile speed limit is appropriate for this type of road. There are no current proposals to introduce a 20-mile speed limit in any other residential area, as it's always recommended that such speed restrictions should only be introduced in locations where they would be self-enforcing. Thank you.
Councillor Darling, do you have a supplementary question?
Yes, I do. Could I please have that in writing, because I couldn't understand a word. Thank you.
I'll be delighted. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Exa. Question 4, Councillor Darling to the Mayor and Executive Lead for Finance. I understand that Councillor Mills will respond to this question due to the Mayor's interest in this matter. Could Councillor Mills give his response to the question? Councillor Mills, you may remain seated if you wish.
I'll stand up until I fall over, Councillor. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, but I'd rather do it from here than attempt to get to the dais. The Planning Service has been pursuing and working with developers who have expressed any interest in this site for several months prior to auction. As soon as the site was sold, the new owner was contacted by Pat Stewart and a meeting arranged on site on the 27th of August to discuss the ambitions for the site and what could be done to bring them forward speedily. Councillor Andy Lang was involved in that meeting and in subsequent correspondence. The new owner, Hugh Bromage, has a very good track record of delivery, particularly in Exeter, Teignbridge and South Hams. He is passionate about restoring rather than redeveloping older buildings and about working with local communities. He is keen to move forward with his buildings. They have more value than is immediately apparent from the road, and conversion to provide a mix of residential accommodation with ground floor commercial uses. The chapel is to be retained, and the only elements of the new building relate to the more recent poor quality corner extension. We have set up a further meeting with Hugh Bromage to review development proposals in more detail on the 30th of September. We will also be using this opportunity to look at other sites in the bay, as he says his previous concerns about investing in Torbay have completely been turned on their head due to the positivity and enthusiasm shown by the council. Redevelopment of this site has the potential to be a game changer for Tor, and the attitude of the developer in wanting to deliver a scheme that benefits the local community rather than just a balance sheet is to be welcomed. He has left us with a brochure of his schemes, all quite well known and good quality, so assuring us of deliverability. And Pat says, I'm confident that we will secure some major and beneficial changes to this site quite quickly. We expect a planning application within the next 2 months. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Mandy Darling, do you have a supplementary question?
Yes, I do. Thank you for your full answer. Do you have any timelines of when things may happen with this development? So that it's not going to drag on for a long, long time. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, we hope that something will be happening within the next 2 months.
Item number 8, notice of motion. Tackling housing needs and poor quality housing in Torbay. This is a mayoral decision. I move to item 8. Would Councillor Stocks put her motion to the Council as attached to the agenda, notice of which was given in accordance with Standing Orders A14. You have 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't think I'll take 5 minutes. You have the notice of motion before you. I have a few words to say on it. I hope you've all read that bit. Some bits I'll remind you and some I won't. I think at this time, Torbay Council has an opportunity to invest in more social housing through the private sector lease because of the reserves it has. And Torbay's housing stock, sadly, has fallen to an all-time low of only 7% of all stock in the Bay and still carries a higher than average private sector letting section, which includes rogue landlords and poor quality housing. We know that we have legislation to address it, but we also know that we don't have the man hours and the staff to do that. And on top of that, there are 2,000 local families on the council house waiting list. There is no way with social housing will we ever address it, but with the private sector letting scheme, hard to say with my teeth, we could break into it. If you've read the Herald Express, you will see what I would say the reporter appears to have muddled up, partly a debate about the money going to the beach huts and partly this scheme and all sorts of other things. But I'd like to correct some of the statements made in that article, because those of us that have served on the council for quite a long time get very frustrated with this. There is an attack in there that the Liberal Democrats sold off the council housing stock of 3,000 houses. We didn't sell it off because we fancied it. It was sold off while we were in administration because of a law laid down by Margaret Thatcher, legislation that said if local people wanted their stock sold, then it could be sold. And although it was sold to Riviera Housing, so it did still remain social housing. It was still our old-fashioned council houses, but run by somebody else. It also attacked the Liberal Democrats, asking what they did with the £19 million receipt. Well, the money didn't actually come through until the Conservatives had taken the council back. So they're the ones that got the money, not us. So what did you do with it? The argument also for spending on beach huts instead of on social housing says that it will manifest £2,500 revenue a year each hut. If we took on private sector housing schemes, we are the ones that collect the rent from them, and if they average about £100 a week, that's £5,200. That's double what you get from the beach huts. Examples I can give you: the Borough of Havering wrote a business plan 10 years ago that covered the use of private sector housing. They wrote a good target each year. They started off with houses, 2, 3, and 4 bedroom housing, and then went on to the HIMOs, which are more of a challenge, but are there. Having existed now for 10 years, that scheme is so well established. It employs 45 people full-time, and they are actually putting a bid in to form their own community interest company, which will be completely self-sustaining. I see Councillor Dwyer shaking his head that I don't know what I'm talking about, but off of the Havering website, they know that they've made the money. What they guarantee to a landlord is a monthly rent paid in advance, even if the property is empty. Free property management. The tenant has to contact the council. They cover potential damage caused by the tenant. They do it on long leases of 3 to 5 years to ensure return. And they give us assistance, not pay all, assistance with the cost of essential repairs. What they ask from the landlord, the owner of the property, is a certain standard of property when it comes into the hands of the council. It's got to be done before they'll proceed. And those standards are the property...
You have 30 seconds, Councillor.
Right, I'll drop that bit then. But I would like to say that Plymouth are doing a similar thing, and that this is a golden opportunity, if you see the end of our the motion, for us to ask the Assistant Director of Community and Customer Services to compile a business plan on our behalf to enter a similar scheme, which will bring an income into the authority for years to come. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Is there a seconder? You have 5 minutes.
I rise to second this motion and support and highly commend all the points that my colleague, Councillor Stocks, has put forward to you. Only yesterday, I met with residents in Torquay Town Centre who are living daily with antisocial behaviour and high levels of criminality in the areas where they reside. This behaviour manifests itself with criminals embedding themselves within the environment that they are living, and in turn preying on vulnerable people in the area. This can't go in. This has to be stopped, and bringing in better schemes for housing would help this. Again, this morning, I had a phone call from another resident in the town centre who had actually been up 3 times in the night. The first time, she'd actually had to bring a 17-year-old girl into her home who had been beaten, was bleeding, and in a terrible state, because She was outside this lady's front window. She was awoken again in the early hours by fighting outside her house. We have got to bring a better area for our people to live in our bay. And it also impacts on our tourism as well. People come, they see these areas, and it's not fair. We should give this plan the green light. We should give the officers the confidence to go forward and study this as a way forward, and then come back, and us as a council should say yes. And I would ask you all to commend this. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor.
In accordance with Standing Order A14-3A, the motion stands referred to the Mayor. Would the Mayor please confirm what he would like to do?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Of course, we have quite a substantial public and private sector representation for housing in Torbay. If you add the two together, which is often missed out, you're probably approaching one-third of all housing in Torbay is rented in one form or another. And we have a substantial number of housing associations and private landlords who carry out an excellent job in supporting their tenants and providing excellent accommodation. In 2013-14, we had an opportunity to raise housing standards with seminars and training, which of course a lot of landlords went to. And indeed, the executive lead then, Councillor David Thomas, went to that particular training exercise and felt that it was excellent because it provided greater opportunities for landlords and tenants to work together, but also to provide better accommodation. Housing associations provide the largest amount of rented accommodation in the southwest. In terms of the LEP area, it's 75,000 houses, of which over 3,500 are affordable that were planned and hopefully completed, and employ nearly 4,000 people. It adds a third of £1 billion to the economy, and so there is a lot of accommodation out there which is good quality, and we should be proud of it. I don't want to stigmatise private landlords or private tenants by perhaps wrongly accusing them of not undertaking the task that they would do extremely well. There will be a small minority in both those cases, both landlords and tenants, who are a problem. And we have been addressing that through the Anti-Social Behaviour Forum, which has had £100,000 per annum. I set it up, and all councils are involved with that. It will continue to help. We supported and helped over 500 tenants in Torbay in the last 3 years to make sure they had decent accommodation. I think it's important that we work together to provide better accommodation, but not to undermine the work that's already been done. Housing associations provide the largest area of housing, and they get grants from the Housing Corporation, from the HCA, and it's not up to us to go back and spend £10 million, which is what's been proposed, and add another layer of additional staff and resources in these difficult times when there are alternatives provided by government to provide this accommodation. So I'm going to reject the amendments before us because I think we should wait and see the proposals that we put forward, having been newly elected to this council, and we have some excellent ideas and thoughts about protecting land, tenants and having decent accommodation provided, and we have our own proposals to bring forward to you. We've seen the benefits of Beachfield and other major developments with housing association we've supported. They've been very well supported by us in terms of accommodation for tenants and our role in that, and also the funds that we put into them. This was a suggestion made at Overy and Scrutiny by a number of councillors. We've undertaken that task successfully over many years, and that has helped maintain and create additional accommodation in Torbay, and we will continue to do that. The government has reduced the rents over the next few years to housing associations. They need our support, and we'll do that to provide good quality accommodation. So what I'm saying is we've had a good story to tell. We'll continue to do that, and we will come forward with our own proposals for you to consider at the next council meeting in detail, so you can look at them, you can see our conservative and practical proposals to help the people of Torbay maintain and have better accommodation for them.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Item 9, Joint Commissioning Team, Rationalisation of Statutory Roles. A revised officer recommendation has been circulated. Can Councillor Parrott please put his motion to the Council?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As Appendix 1 to this report points out, in many ways the proposal before you brings local authority and Ofsted thinking on the roles of the DAS and the DCS full circle and back to the pre-2004 position where there was a single director of social services. However, to say that we're simply revisiting the past would be to ignore, in my view, the good work that has gone on in between, and which I believe makes the proposal to recombine the statutory roles a sound one. The current statutory guidance allows us to recombine roles, providing there has been a local test of assurance, something which all members will have seen has been conducted and the results have been shared. My role as the Mayor's lead member for adults and children on Torbay Council, of course, has already been designed to presage today's proposals. The path that you're being asked to approve today has been taken already by a high percentage of top-tier authorities. By way of further update, earlier this week, Richard Williams had a meeting with the lead Ofsted inspector for the South West, who had this to say about such a move, and I paraphrase. If inspectors call and we're thinking about a combined role and commissioning structure, or we're woolly about what we want, or we seem to be prevaricating about the way forward for children's services and their delivery, Ofsted will mark us down. Ofsted understand that the structure we're proposing with a combined DCS and DAS is in effect what everybody's doing. The most important thing for us is to show to Ofsted a clarity of direction and what the benefits are that we expect to see for our children. These thoughts from an Ofsted inspector, I believe, lead me nicely into Section 4 of Appendix 1 to your report, which is on page 259 of your bundle. There's a list of the ambitions that we expect to see met by what we're doing. So if we combine these roles, we'll be having a stronger and clearer role for People's Champion at Corporate Leadership Team, able to share the views of citizens before they and of the services they use, and better coordinated commissioning, negotiation and contract arrangements. But then I think we come on to the really important benefits. Vastly improved transition between children's and adult services. I guess that I'm not the only one here who's felt frustration over the issue of transition. I recall one of the very first meetings that I attended as a councillor back in 2007, where transition services and the gaps between youth and adult provision were a real problem. I worry that still this is the case in some areas, although I'm sure that there's been some work, good work done to try and close those gaps. But I would expect to see, at last, that those gaps will be closed once and for all, because there will be no excuses if the move to joint responsibility is approved by you today. The next point is convergent approaches across all of adults and children's services in respect of areas such as safeguarding. I would be pleased, really, to be able today to report that there's ever closer working between the Torbay Safeguarding Adults Board and the Torbay Safeguarding Children's Board, something which I've been vigorously promoting. This includes the development of common safeguarding messages for delivery to communities and families. This work is being done to involve the CDT and Health Watch and their community links, networking knowledge and understanding. And over the past few weeks, I've been attending a Torbay Safeguarding Children's Board Task and Finish Group, which has been working on a new planned approach and strategy for spotting and tackling
You have 30 seconds, Councillor.
Thank you. The insidious issue of neglect for children. So there we have it. There are some real benefits to be had, I believe. Then, of course, there is the issue of monitoring and the new arrangements to ensure that the children and adults really do reap the benefits that we anticipate. In this aspect, so important to all of us and Ofsted alike, I would like to thank all councillors and officers who've advised and worked to get us to the arrangements that
thank
were
you,
set
Councillor.
Out for you
Your
this afternoon. So you don't want me to read the recommendation, Mr. Chairman? Because that was what I was about to do, for clarity for members.
It's clarity for members and the recommendations.
That was all I was going to. That's all I've come
then
to the end of my speech. It's just the recommendations.
Just
okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for your indulgence. So, to return to the recommendations that are before us today, they are as follows. 3.1, that the proposal to combine the statutory duties of the Director of Children's Services and the Director of Adult Services be approved and the Council moves to the recruitment stage immediately. And 3.2, and this is where the officer's revised recommendation comes in, that the required test of assurance structure set out in Appendix 2 to the submitted report be agreed at and the annual review process involving the chairs of adults and children's safeguarding boards is put in place for the future to include a new performance dashboard to be developed by the Assistant Director of Corporate and Business Services to be introduced within 3 months following the appointment of the new Director of Joint Commissioning to monitor the test of assurance through the Overview Scrutiny Board on a programmed basis. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor. Do you have a seconder? Le Barnaby?
I rise to second the report and reserve my right to speak late.
Thank you. I will now invite debate. Councillor Lewis?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to congratulate Councillor Parrott on the dual role of lead for adults and children. It is something that I actually recommended to the Mayor immediately after the election, that I thought combining those two roles would make sense, especially with the role that Richard Williams then had of looking at the commission and everything else. So congratulations, Councillor Parrott. As you stated, we did have this role in the past. When I first got on the council, the two offices of Children's Services and Adults were combined into one. It was found that it didn't work, and Richard Williams was then called in, I think, and his expertise on children. So I think it is so important that we actually get the right person when we combine these two roles of adults and children. It does take over more than 70% of the budget, but even more importantly, it is the role of safeguarding. And safeguarding of our children in the Bay and the adults in the Bay must be paramount. I believe that going down the route of the ICO for adults, I would like to see children's going down the same route so that, again, it's all joined up. So I welcome this, and I hope that it proves to be done a lot speedier than the ICO, which seems to have gone on for months, if not years. We really must try and get on with this. It is so important for the children and for the adults of Torbay. So congratulations to those involved in this, and I wish them every success in proceeding. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Stocks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am also very much in favour of this. When I was elected in 2003, it was mooted that the adults and children should be separated, and we in Torbay were very strong in saying that, no, we don't think it should be, because adults, parents, aunts, uncles affect the life of their child. The children affect the life of their parent. How can you draw a line at age 16? And we could foresee, we saw what it would solve, we also foresee the problems it would create, and we were right. So moving forward to try and bring the directors back together, I applaud. But my question is, does it go far enough? You can have one person at the top, and we are now commissioning, but there is nothing in here as to whether the adult services will be commissioned to the same provider as children's services, or will it be commissioned to somebody else? If that happens, and we are worried about safeguarding and everything else, do we have the assurance that the staff of the adults commission services are talking to the staff of the children's commission services? Because if they're not, we're still in that place where the child is affecting the adult is affecting the child as it stands now, and that cross-reference of reasons why a child or an adult is in the health situation they're in or the social situation they're in will still be falling between two chairs. So much as I do commend it and support it, I think that we should be going much further in making sure that the service is more combined right down to the cliff face. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Morrie.
Thank you, Chair. Very briefly, I must admit, the first time I got to hear about this recommendation, I just thought children's services, adult services, the two major areas of council activity and spending, is it too much for one person? However, on delving into it more closely, like what's already been said, there is a dire need for joined up thinking, and I think this goes some way to providing that joined up thinking. So it gets my support, but it was after a bit of soul searching, Richard.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Excel.
Thank you, Chairman. I'd just like to say congratulations to Gordon Oliver and Executive Julian for actually bringing this now and achieving it, getting it this far. As you can see, it's been demonstrated today that we've been waiting many years for this to happen, and I'd like to hope that everybody will recommend this. Thank you.
Thank you. If there's no further debate, Councillor Barnaby, you...
Thank you, Chairman. I really just want to commend the report wholeheartedly, and I think that the point that Councillor Parrott made about transition is one of the most important ones that we can be thinking of, so I will certainly be supporting this wholeheartedly. Thank you.
Councillor Parrott, do you wish to reply?
Yeah, just to thank members for the support expressed, but also for Councillor Lewis to say that I will certainly be pursuing the co-location and the of responsibility and services for children within the ICO with appropriate speed. That's certainly something I'll be looking to achieve. And I think in answer to Councillor Stocks, we definitely share the point about transition services and their vital importance to the well-being of both children and adults here in the Bay. And I can promise you that will be towards the very top of my agenda, along with safeguarding in general. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. We will now move to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands high. That's unanimous. Thank you. Item 10, the Corporate Plan, 2015 to 2019. Can the Mayor please put his motion to the Council?
Thank you, Chairman. Members, you have before you the Corporate Plan, which is a key document for this Council. It forms part of the policy framework, and the plan sets out the strategic ambition of the Council over the next 4 years and the principles within which the council will operate. The plan is designed to provide an overarching framework for the ambitions of the council. Once the plan is approved, corporate plan delivery plans will be formulated, which will underpin this overarching plan, and these will be presented to the council for approval, hopefully in February 2016. I recommend to the council for approval the corporate plan and move paragraphs 3.1 and 3.2 of this report, Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there a seconder?
Thank you, Chairman. I move to second this and reserve my right.
I will now invite debate. Councillor Darling.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I think we heard fine words from our elected mayor, as if this is an outstanding report. But I'm afraid to say it is a dog's dinner of a report, and I do know a dog's dinner when I see one, and this is one. May I remind members to cast ourselves back to the heady days of July, where Mr. Mayor was a bit like a little boy whose balloon had burst, where he withdrew this, saying it had been sabotaged by his own group at the last meeting, and I can't see that much difference. You know, there's hints of movement around it, but the core elements are still defective here. There are some parts of it that I can have great sympathy, my colleagues, Liberal Democrat colleagues, have sympathy with, but we, as a plan, as a route plan for the future of Torbay, this is inadequate. It is not fit for purpose, and we're unable to support this. We will be abstaining as the Lib Dems on this, as it does not go far enough. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Stockman.
I actually can't find my notes, so I'm just going to speak from my memory. I looked at this corporate planning in a lot of detail, and then I looked back to the last corporate plan to see how they compared. And so I wanted to see if we're going to introduce another corporate plan, how well we'd done on the previous one. And I would suggest to you we haven't done that well. Things like we certainly haven't introduced a local plan, and in 2013 it said that we would have actually introduced the plan. It also said that the three neighbourhood plans would have been completed, and we haven't done that. It also said that we would consult with the public, the general public, and those using specific services. And I would say we failed with that as well, because if you looked at the number of people that responded to the consultation of this corporate plan, it was in total 19. And if you looked at even our partners, out of six partners, only three responded. So I think it's a big fat zero for consultation. I also looked at, I don't know how anybody else was brought up, but I was brought up by a dad who taught me this. Don't put your name to or put your hand up or sign anything that you haven't read, agreed with, and understood. And with this corporate plan, because it's only an overarching strategic document, and we're not actually seeing any of the delivery plans until February, how can you possibly put your hand up and vote for a corporate plan that you've got no idea can be delivered? And I just think, is it me that thinks that? That's all I've got to say.
Councillor Thomas, D.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was rather surprised there. I didn't expect to be speaking straight away. I thought you would have a whole long list of people. Well, really just trying to answer some of the questions that Councillor Stockman just raised, really, because for me, the corporate plan exists there, the plan on a page 51. I think there was a lot of confusion at the last council meeting about what was Appendix 1, what was actually Appendix 3, and there was a lot of confusion about that. But what is actually key here is the draft corporate plan, and this is what it says, and I know you'll have read it, but and this is why I'll be supporting it. Here are some of the reasons why I will be supporting it. We will work to address inequalities of health, wealth and opportunity in Torbay, providing the right kind of help and support at the right time. That's something I can support. If you can't support that, that's fine. Torbay will be a place where the cared for and caring, young and old, are respected and valued members of our society, and where healthy, happy and safe lives and homes are shared aspirations for every citizen. Again, that's something that I can support. Again, if you can't, that's your prerogative. Torbay will be a place where every citizen has access to a good education and is able to acquire the skills they need to join South Devon's workforce, where education, training and apprenticeship opportunities are available for all. Again, fantastic aspiration. Again, something I would support. And just picking up one other, we will work to improve transport links across Torbay, ensuring it's effective, reliable and sustainable. Now, I appreciate that these are high-level aspirations, but what needs to follow from there and what is absolutely key will be the delivery plans. I don't have an issue with you on there. It is those delivery plans that will be the key thing that will come forward in February. But in order for those delivery plans to come forward, the corporate plan effectively needs to be signed off tonight. Without a sign-off of this plan tonight, we're not going to see any of the delivery plans, not going to be able to move forward. So that's the reason why I will be supporting it this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Ellery?
Chairman, I just rise to pick up on that point, because none of us here are saying we don't agree with the corporate plan, but I have this real worry about, I want to know how it's going to be delivered. So if you're voting like Councillor Thomas has just said, for the corporate plans to be able to get the delivery plans, although we don't know what they are and we don't know how it's going to be delivered, it puts us in a real quandary. A lot of us support what's in here, but how do we know how it's going to be delivered? So, you know, a real quandary here. Councillor Thomas sort of says it's up to you to support it, or I'm sorry if you don't support it. Well, we do support it, but how can you not go forward without a delivery to know how it's going to succeed? So that's the dilemma we all have. Please don't assume we don't support it. It's just a fact that you've got to know how it's being delivered to know whether it's going to be effective or not. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Parrott.
Thank you, Chairman. Whilst I sort of understand the issue of development plans and the importance of them, I thought that we just moved on from a key agreement here at Council of one of the ways in which we'll do some of the things that are in this plan. We voted tonight for a combined role for the DAS and DCS. We voted for a complete package in terms of the direction that we wish to travel in that, and that goes to support some of the planks that are in here that Councillor Thomas actually identified. So actually I don't have too much problem with that. You know, having to see a piece of paper with some, you know, sort of detailed protocol on isn't going to stop me from driving forward the adults and children's agenda here in the Bay, and nor should it. But I do feel that I'm given the right to do that by the draft corporate plan, or the corporate plan as it will be later this evening. And mark my words, if we don't have a corporate plan, then Ofsted won't be happy. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Carter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Actually, Councillor Ellery said most of what I was going to say, that this is a corporate aspiration, and we do follow this, and we do follow that aspiration with you, but we find that this is too woolly. There's no plan there. There's nothing meaty in there to say how this is going to be achieved, and that's why we can't support it.
Thank you. If there's no debate, Councillor Haddock, you reserve your right.
Happy so far. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Then, Mayor Oliver, do you wish to reply?
I think, Chairman, the previous corporate plan, if you look at what was proposed and what was achieved and how successful it was, there were a very successful 4 years, and, of course, as a result of those successes, Torbay is a better place in which to live, and the people of Torbay felt that they had confidence in us so we've been re-elected for another 4 years, and this is why the corporate plan before you is establishing the principle for the next 4 years. You'll have the officers working on the detail of that. And if you look at the response, you cannot ignore the consultation process and ignore what the people say. There may not have been that many people who responded, but many of them were organisations with a lot of members. And so you take into account what they have said, and they feel that, I think, nearly 80%, it's all in the figures there, felt this corporate plan was good, they supported it, and they want us to get on with it. And that's what we're going to do.
Thank you, Mayor Oliver. I now move to the vote. Those in favour, please raise your hands high. Those against? Any abstentions? Please raise your hands high. The motion's carried. Thank you. Item 11, referendum on future forms of governance. This is a council decision. This item has been withdrawn to enable further research to be undertaken. We will now move to item 12, review of policy framework documents. Can Councillor Lang please put his motion to the council?
Thank you, Chairman. Members, you have before you a detailed report following the decision of the council at its last meeting to ask the Executive Director to undertake a review of the policy framework documents and make recommendations for its composition going forward. The Executive Director has undertaken that review, and the recommendations are contained within the report. The principle applied by the Executive Director has been for a simplified framework where there are synergies for policies to be amalgamated to achieve a smaller number of policies upon which the Council can tightly focus. The senior leadership team and the Managers Forum were consulted as part of the review, meaning that the officers involved in the delivery of the services have been a part of the recommendations that are before you. Once the revised policy framework is approved, then this will be referred to the policy development groups for them to develop and bring forward the policies for consideration by full council. On the basis that the recommendation provides a structure with the contents of the policies to be considered by full council in due course, I therefore recommend to the council for approval the policy framework as contained within paragraph 3.1 of the report, and so move.
Thank you, Councillor. Is there a seconder? Councillors? Yes?
Yeah, I rise to second the motion and reserve my right.
Thank you, Councillor. I now invite debate. Councillor Stockman.
I'd actually like to put a very small amendment, please. It's to 3(1)(d), and it's just to include the words after housing allocations policy, is just to add in affordable housing. And the reason I'd like it done is if you read the reports, I mean, somebody perhaps more clever than me can tell me that this won't happen. But as in some of the report, it says that where you have things within the policy framework, you have a better capability of attracting funding. And I think that it shows that we have a priority if we include it in our policy framework. So I move the amendment.
Do you have a seconder, Councillor Stockman?
I rise to second and reserve my right.
Thank you, Councillor. So we will have a debate now on the amendment.
Just as a point of confirmation, could we have clarity where the words fit in, please?
Councillor?
Members, just to clarify the amendment that's before you, if you look at the proposed decision at 3.1D, it currently reads housing strategy incorporating homelessness strategy, housing allocations policy, and the new words will be added to that, and affordable housing at the end of that sentence. Would anybody like me to repeat that, or is that now clear to members? Thank you.
I will now open debate on the amendment. Councillor Lewis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not an expert on this and would never claim to be one, but I would have thought we're just looking at the overview and bringing in the documents that have previously been policy documents. So by definition, having a housing strategy, that would include the affordable homes. How far do you go down? Do you then have private landlords or whatever? We're going into too much detail. It is purely a document bringing them all together. I have great faith in Councillor Stockman and we got on extremely well, but I think she must realise that on documents like this, you don't include every strand of that document, and there's no need for it, Mr. Chairman, I would say. So I think it's already incorporated by definition. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor.
I share that view to a degree, Chairman, and I understand where Councillor Stockman is coming from, but we have made it clear we'll have a new document for the Council to consider in due course, and I think perhaps the best way of addressing it would be to see how that fits in with the proposals and the new policies rather than go into some more detail now, but I think it's something that should be addressed at that time, not now.
If there's no... Councillor Murray.
I guess what we're saying, Chair, to answer Councillor Lewis, is I know how he introduced it, what he thought, was by saying, I would have thought it would have included. I would argue thinking it could be included isn't good enough. We should be setting a priority on affordable homes. So it just states the case. We should include affordable homes in this policy framework document. Straightforward, no big deal, just states it there.
Councillor Excel.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm just a layman by trade, but I understand that housing, what you talk, is all in the housing strategy rather than being an item on its own. Why should it be on its own? Why can't it be in a housing strategy like all the other bits and pieces?
Councillor Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would agree with Councillor Lewis. There's many of us on this side who would support affordable housing, but if the housing strategy doesn't have affordable housing, it clearly isn't a housing strategy. And I think by default, it's already included in there. And, kind of what level should we be going down to, putting, at the end of the day, this again is another high level, policy framework. And one thing's for certain, if affordable housing isn't in the housing strategy, it won't have my support. Thank you.
Councillor Haddock.
Chris Ross. Thank you, Chairman. I would like to support Councillor Lewis and Councillor Thomas. And also, this matter will be discussed, I understand, at PDGs. That's what it's there for. And that will come up in the policies to be brought forward in the near future. Thank you.
Councillor Parrott.
It's just a point, Mr. Chairman, thank you. And that is that if we were going to speak or break down the housing strategy in any way in such a document, then I would expect it to sort of really cover the three statutory areas that we're talking about. So it would be the homelessness pathway, there would be the development policy, but there'd also be something about housing standards and energy, that sort of thing. So, you could go down that route, but it just seems a bit unnecessary at this stage. Thank you.
Councillor Robson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Page 88 of the actual table does actually quote, this document sets out what we need to do to improve affordable housing options, so it is included.
Councillor Darling, you reserved your right of reply.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am concerned that we've heard from, Councillor Haddock, his suggestion that, don't worry, guys, we're going to discuss this at PBGs. These are meetings that happen behind closed doors that are managed behind, by the mayor's men and women. You know, I am very concerned that that is not a test of assurance that there will be a quality debate regarding this matter. I think we need to reflect to ourselves. We are arguing over two words. Most members in this room are saying, oh, we support affordable housing, but we're not willing to put it in the short list of what is important to us as a local authority. Our mayor has a habit of being willfully blind to the need of affordable housing in Torbay. May I remind members that we have been ridiculed for some reason earlier on this week, both on Radio 2, on Radio 4, on our local paper, on local and on local radio, on regional TV, in the Daily Mail, in the Mirror, in the Morning Star, I think maybe even in the People, if that still exists. I didn't know it existed anymore. But, you know, we have an opportunity to say we think it's important as councillors and actually make it clear to the mayor that it's important to us rather than allowing his willful blindness to continue. Let's give him a pair of glasses and make sure that he puts affordable housing at the heart of the housing strategy rather than choosing to do what comes naturally and ignore it. Please vote for this amendment.
Councillor Lang, do you wish to respond to the amendment?
Thank you, Chair. I have nothing further to add.
Thank you. No vote. We will now go to the vote on the amendment. Those in favour? Those against? Please raise your hands high.
Any abstentions?
Right. Any abstentions?
Well, me, I suppose.
The amendment is lost. We will now go to the original motion. Is there any further debate on that motion? No, then we will move straight to that vote. Those in favour of the original motion, please raise your hands high. Thank you. Those against? Those abstaining? The motion's carried. Item 13, proposed amendment to the Audit Committee's terms of reference. Can Councillor Lang please put his motion to the Council?
Thank you, Chair. Members, Council has previously approved the Audit Committee's terms of reference. In the course of their work, they have recognised that the terms of reference do not cover all that they are required to do, specifically in respect of Treasury Management Matters and the Regulation of Investigatory Powers Act, in brackets RIPA. As full council is the parent body of the Audit Committee, it is for full council to approve any proposed amendment of their terms of reference. The updated terms of reference are set out in your papers, and I recommend them to you for approval. I therefore move that the Council approve the amended terms of reference for Audit Committee as set out in Appendix 1.
Is there a seconder?
Yes, I rise to second the motion and I will reserve my rights.
Is there any debate? If not, we go to the vote. Then I move to the vote. Those in favour? Those against? The motion carried. Item 14, Treasury Management Outturn 2014-2015. Can the Mayor please put his motion to the Council?
Members have before them, Chairman, the Treasury Management Outturn Report for 2014-15. It is a requirement of the Local Government Act 2003 to produce an annual report that meets all the requirements of the relevant codes of practice. This is basically a technical report. The key issues are that there are no new borrowings, 4.5 million of capital expenditures funded from existing borrowing, and Treasury management activities achieved a saving of 300,000 on the approved budget. I recommend that members note this report, Chairman. Thank you.
Is there a seconder?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I rise to second and reserve my right.
Thank you, Councillor. Is there any debate? Then I will go to the vote. Those in favour? And hands high. Thank you. Those against? Abstaining? Motion's carried. Item 15, Capital Investment Plan Update, 2015-16, first quarter. Can the Mayor please put his motion to the Council?
Thank you, Chairman. Agenda item 15, Capital Investment Plan Update for 2015-16, quarter one. Members have before them the Capital Investment Report for the first quarter, which states that $32 million is forecast to be spent during the financial year 2015-16. Of which 11.7 million will be spent on the nearly completed South Devon Link Road, now known as the South Devon Highway. The Council is investing 74 million in the Bay over the next 4 years. The largest scheme is the South Devon Highway at 16 million, 14 million on education, including our schools, 28 million on community facilities and transport, and $40 million on business-generating assets such as the Torbay Innovation Centre. I recommend that members approve the recommendations as laid out on paragraph 3, including the amendments on 3.4. And, Chairman, I am prepared to accept the amendment the Liberal Democrats have put in and which has been received by all Council members. Thank you.
Is there a seconder?
Once again, sorry, I'll rise to second that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a debate? An amendment has been tendered. Is there a debate? You've accepted it. Jolly good. Councillor Lewis?
I just rise to thank the Mayor for accepting the amendment and changing the amendment. As you well know, it came to overview and scrutiny, and that was the recommendation of overview and scrutiny, because affordable homes is so important in the Bay, and I hope that that money that is going to be protected is now spent, and then we can actually build or support more affordable homes in the Bay. But I'd like to thank the Mayor for doing that and taking the advice of overview and scrutiny. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Murray.
Very briefly, Chair, more than happy to support this amendment, especially after the debacle over the last week and the shame brought on Torbay over spending five times the amount of on beach huts than on affordable homes. When I initially saw the original recommendation, Chair, I thought, here we go again. And I'm pleased to hear that there's been now a change of heart. Hopefully the bad press over the last week may have had an influence on that decision.
Councillor O'Dwyer, did you wish to speak?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, really I just wanted to give my non-pecuniary interest.
Thank you. Councillor Thomas, D.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I rise to also thank the Mayor for accepting the Liberal Democrat amendment. I'd written a few words that was going to be along the lines of to advise Councillor Darling that at our Conservative group meeting on Tuesday that you had given this commitment not to use the affordable housing money for this particular project, and therefore delighted that that's been accepted this evening. So thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Darling.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I am pleased that, that spirit may have been there. My fear was that I understand that this 300,000 is part of a 5 million unlocking of opportunity for Torquay Town Centre. And whilst one has concerns about, again, looking after the seafront time and time again, to the exclusion, to actually throw that out when there's an opportunity of unlocking improvement to our town centre would have been churlish. However, I was fearful that my understanding of the timing of the bid was at the end of the financial year, which would have meant if that money hadn't been used for affordable housing, it would still be there unallocated. So I'm pleased that this is has been amended. Councillor Morey, you're quite wrong, by the way. It wasn't five times, it's 10 times more on beach huts than affordable housing. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Councillor Stockman.
Forgive me if I ask this question, because I'm not sure whether we're doing the amendment, which becomes the substantive motive of what we're actually doing. But I want to ask a question and see if somebody can give me some clarity. It's on page 115, and it's Disabled Facilities Grant Reserve
at the top,
400,000, and it says potential transfer of funds to other council priorities. I just wondered if somebody could give us some idea of what that actually means, because we're agreeing not to take some money from the affordable homes, but I'm not quite sure where that 400,000 is actually going. That's my question.
Thank you. Councillor Mills, you reserve your right.
I have nothing to say now. Can I propose to go to the vote once we've sorted the questions out?
Mr. Mayor, would you like to respond?
Okay. I always believe, Chairman, in the art of the possible, and if there are substantial funds unallocated for a long period of time, which some of these have been, then you use it for the purpose where the priorities arise. So I'm glad it's galvanised members to decide that they want to use it for this purpose, and they see this as a priority. So I accept that, and I believe that it'll drive the policy issues on housing a lot firmer. And I also think that now we'll be able to rejuvenate part of the last matching bit of Torquay Harbourside in due course. The 300,000 can be used now or later, but if it is spent, and when it is spent, it will not affect the £5 million allocation, because it will still be seen as match funding if it's spent or not spent. So from that point of view, from the bidding process, it isn't a problem, because it will still be seen as adding into the process, and it will not inhibit the bid for £5 million. Don't rubbish the beach huts policy, and don't confuse capital with revenue. These are two separate issues. We've also protected Mead for Beach, which we hadn't spent the money. You may have had to have closed it, and of course then you would have had no opportunity to use those beach huts. It looks pretty good, I think, on the front page of the Herald Express. A new development, we protected that beach. We had a waiting list for 25 years on beach huts on Meadford. We've undertaken that task. They're paying for themselves, and within a few years they'll show a profit for us and an income. And this council needs income. And this is one way of providing that income. There will be other ways, but that's revenue. Don't confuse the two. And I hope in due course there's now another waiting list at Meadford, and we may be looking, if it's financially beneficial to us, of maybe increasing the numbers that are there with an additional development, because they've been so successful, there's still a waiting list. So bear in mind, in the last few months, the successes, once again, Torbay is back into the top 10 of resorts in this country. Our unemployment has dropped dramatically in the last 12 months, substantially improved with a smaller number of people. This will help our economy. This will help our people maintain jobs and their standard of living, which will help us on the housing front as well. So just understand that you don't knock a particularly successful scheme which has protected our beach, but at the same time, we will see in due course when the new proposals come forward, the next meeting or the December meeting on housing, so we can all work together and make Torbed a place for all of us.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We will now go to the vote. Those in favour, please raise your hands high. Thank you. Those against? Any abstentions? One. The motion's carried. Thank you. Item 16. This is a council decision. It's a devolution update. Now, this report is for noting and no vote is necessary. But please note that there was a typographical error in the report on para 1.4. Waste should read west. Thank you. We now come to mayoral decisions. The mayor has requested to make his decisions at meetings of the council following the council making recommendations to him. Therefore, on tonight's agenda, items 17 and 18 will be debated and any recommendations voted on by the full council. Following the end of the debate on each item and after any recommendation has been voted on, I will request the mayor to confirm his decision. In accordance with standing orders, the call-in procedures will apply to any mayoral decisions made at this meeting. Thank you. Item 17, clinical governance framework. Can Councillor Mills please put his motion to the council?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can I sit down? My medication's getting the better of me here.
Indeed.
Thank you very much. Can I first of all thank the public health team for such a comprehensive report and strategy, which I'm sure every member has read and every member is encouraged to approve when we come to the vote. The public health team aims to be cost-effective, of high quality, safe, and to represent best value for money. And this framework outlines how we will ensure to do such. It covers such things as sexual and reproductive health, drug and alcohol, service, treatment services and lifestyle services. And it is very important that we see that we are cost-effective and of high quality, offering the best value to the people of Torbay. This is a very comprehensive document, so I shall go straight forward, please, and to recommend that we approve the clinical governance framework as set out in the papers for a period of 3 years, whereupon it will be reviewed and updated. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor. Is there a seconder? Councillor Parrott.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Rise to second this motion, and I don't think there's really very much to add, so I'll reserve my right at this point.
Is there any debate? Councillor Lewis?
Chairman, as the past portfolio holder, I think for 2 years on public health and chairman of the health and wellbeing, which I thoroughly enjoyed, I'd like to congratulate Caroline Diamond and her team for doing a superb report. And I think some councillors don't appreciate the esteem that Public Health Torbay is held in not only the southwest, but also the whole of the country. When I did hold that portfolio, I used to go around and people used to very often talk about how high we were regarded. And we certainly, you know, are much stronger than we are the size of Torbay. We are quite small compared to Devon, Somerset and other public health teams. And it was difficult for them coming into the council. It's very often not easy for councillors when they suddenly become councillors and find out how the council works. I think even more difficult for the team in public health, many of whom had worked for the National Health for a long time, to come into the council. And I think they came in very, very well and are now part of the team and feel that they are part of the council. And I would congratulate them on this document. I think it's superb. And, of course, to Derek Mills, who I'm sure took a great part in producing this document. So well done to all. Thank you very much.
Any further debate? Councillor Parrott?
Nothing, thank you, Chairman.
Councillor Mills?
No. Move to the vote, please, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. We will now move to the vote. Those in favour? That's unanimous, thank you. I now invite the Mayor to respond to the recommendations of the Council which is before him. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Chairman, this is a very comprehensive document which gives me great reassurance that our public health services strive for excellence and are also closely monitored for their quality and value for money, as well as having a robust system to deal with any issues that may arise effectively and quickly. So I therefore recommend it to Council, Chairman, and support it.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I now move to item 18, Corporate Parenting Strategy. Can Councillor Parrott please put his motion to the Council?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Mayor, members. I take the page 167 of your bundle, the reason for the proposal, passing over the fact that there is a statutory reason for our discussion tonight. I'd actually like to point you to 2.4 right at the bottom of the page. Effective corporate parenting requires authority-wide approach, including all elected members. Well, I don't know about other members here, but anyone who went along to the summer event where congratulations and commendations were passed out to the children looked after here in the Bay, there was an excellent turnout of members, and I'd like to thank everybody who came along to that, because that was a very clear show of our support for Children Looked After. Equally, I'm hugely proud, Mr. Chairman, of the newly reformed Corporate Parenting Board. They, of course, have passed this strategy that's before you this evening. There is work underway by the children to review the pledge that the Council took and for us to bring that back to Council for a further pledging in the near future. There's also, of course, the work of the virtual school. Whilst we got some good results in the summer, I'm still a little bit concerned that we need to perhaps move at a slightly faster pace in closing the gap between Children Looked After's performance and the general children's population here in the Bay. We also, I'm keen here, Mr. Chairman, to make it clear that there's no complacency, despite what I've said already about corporate parenting and the role of members. There's still a need to make the children's voice in what we do stronger, and that was certainly something that the Corporate Parenting Board at its meeting took very, very seriously, and we are starting to do that. But of course, we must be clear that this has to be led by the children and not by us telling them what we think they should be doing. The Ofsted framework, indeed, is shot through with the importance of the child's voice being heard, and Richard Williams and I will be attending an event at Parkfield early in the next month to start that process. But I'm sure that the Corporate Parenting Board will deliver across the board here in accordance with the strategy, Mr. Chairman, because if I can mention some of the members of the board, which I think is the strongest board that this council has probably ever had. Of course, there's Councillor Cindy Stocks, who is a veteran when it comes to children looked after, and we certainly value her input, and she is in fact to be the deputy chairman of that board. There's Councillor Bai, who I understand has recently taken on the role of chairman of the strategic advisory board for the children's centres here in the Bay. There's Councillor Barmby, who's the scrutiny lead for adults and children, who will bring a critical friends view to what we're doing, as well as working alongside Councillor Stockman and the rest of us to deliver to the strategy. And then, of course, there are the children's champions, as well as Councillor Stocks. There's Councillor O'Dwyer for youth and Councillor Stubley for early years. But I think last but not least, Chairman, if I have time, and I think I may just have time, I'd like to thank the superb officer team that's supporting the Corporate Parenting Board this time round. That's led by Dr. Jackie Jensen, but also includes Gail Rogers and Jane Einett. So my sincere thanks to them for their support for the work that all councillors are seeking to achieve to support our children looked after. I do hope that you'll be able to support the strategy which is before you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor. Is there a seconder?
Yes, Chair. I rise to second this. And although Councillor Parrott skimmed over the statutory requirement, maybe he did it because he knows I always bang on about it. When you're elected as a councillor, you really have a free hand. There's no rules laid down or job description as to what you should do or what you shouldn't do, what meetings you should go to, what you should support, except Children's Act 1989 states that you will be a corporate parent. You can't get out of it. We have that legal responsibility. It doesn't mean you've got to be in there actually physically working with them, but you must be aware of the children's safety, their opportunity to participate in anything else that other children would participate in, their right to have as good an education as everybody else, and so on and so forth. It's quite a challenge. It is a mandatory thing. And so I will be working with some of the lead officers in the children's department to plan out a series of training. We did this 4 years ago, to which every councillor must attend. So I'm just warning you now, it's mandatory. You should enjoy it, what they did last time, but for the few that tried to get away last time, we rounded them up, didn't we, Richard? Every last one of them. And I just think that in your heart, if you want to be a councillor and look after the community, you're going to want to look after the children anyway. So it gives me great pleasure to second this proposal. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. If there's no debate, Councillor Parrott, would you like to...
Thank you. I'm very, very grateful to this second bite at the cherry because there's somebody that I left out, although she's mentioned in my notes. I mentioned the virtual school. I'm delighted that Councillor Tolchard, an ex-executive lead for Children's Services, is in fact part of the board as well. My apologies for not mentioning it before. My handwriting is... I nearly said crap there, sorry, is not very good. Apologies to Councillor Tolchard, and thank you so much for joining the virtual school governors, and I'm sure we'll be working closely together to drive up that performance. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor. We will now move to the vote. Those in favour, please raise your hands high. Purely good. And that's unanimous. I now invite the Mayor to respond to the recommendations of the Council, which is before him.
Chairman, I'm delighted to embrace and support this strategy. I think it's important that we do all work together. We, as elected members, have a real strong commitment to this, but we also have a legal requirement to support it. So I thank all those who have played a part to make it possible, the work that Julian Parrott is doing, the officers, and elected members around this room. I thank everybody for supporting it, and I hope that it will be a success for Torbay.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Items number 19, 20, 21, and 22 on tonight's agenda are for noting, and no vote is necessary. Thank you, and good night.